the Chuck Shoot Podcast. So excited to have Mark Gus Scott back in studio today. He is here to promote his new single, With You. We did a previous episode number three. He was my second guest. That interview got some attention. We got five articles on the Sleaze Rocks website. So a lot of traffic there. Very popular episode. He's got some great stories that really span his whole career. I went through that whole thing in that other previous episode. So today we're going to kind of fill in the gaps, pick up where we left off. We'll talk about his new solo career, and you'll actually get to hear him play his new single live for the first time ever. And if you want to, you can check out the video version of that, of him playing the song on YouTube. All my musical performances of people playing their songs in studio or on YouTube. So if you want to check out those video versions, I think you'll really enjoy this episode. He's got some more great stories, and he's just such a super nice guy and very talented musician. So hope you enjoy. Mark Gus Scott, drummer from Trickster and solo artist. Okay, my guest today is known for being the drummer of the arena rock band Trickster, where he sold roughly 1 million records.
On the first one.
Yeah, and then we have a solo career currently. He has a new single out, With You, where he sings and plays piano. Please welcome Mark Gus Scott.
You are the king.
Mark, how you doing?
Chuck, always great to see you, my friend. Yeah. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, let's recap. I mean, we had a great interview, the second episode of my solo podcast.
Got a little attention, that one.
Yeah.
God bless.
We got a few articles or so, five articles on Sleaze Rocks, and so it's like they just kept coming. It was like every day.
God,
I was
bless
like,
Sleaze Rocks.
There's more another. Power to yeah, him. More I love Oliver, the guy from the Sleaze Rocks. I love that guy. So, please check out that episode if you haven't heard that one already. You'll have a comprehensive look at Mark's entire career and history. Since that we had that interview come out, I saw you at the Warrant concert.
That was fun.
And that was a lot of fun. And they actually called you and Pete Lauren, the singer of Trickster, they called you guys up on stage and you got to sing Cherry Pie with Warrant. That was pretty cool, right?
Yeah. You know, back in the day when we did the Blood, Sweat, and Beers tour, it was us, Firehouse, and Warrant. Every night, Janie made a point to get all three bands out on stage and play something together at the end of the night. So, like, every show was like the last show. You know what I mean? Normally, most bands do that thing at like the last leg of the tour or something like that. We tried to make it like the end of times every night. Like the world's going to end. Let's do it right. You know what I mean? So we did that every night, and it was great. So I think Rob Mason now has now carried on their tradition. You know, particularly we got friends in the crowd. You bring them up, and that's how you freaking make it a great show. And that's the best part of the show. Everybody has fun watching.
Yeah, didn't you guys? We talked about this last episode, but you guys would do Fight for Your Right to Party.
Exactly.
What other songs did you guys do?
We did Tush by ZZ Top.
Oh.
Fight for Your Right, and was there another? It was primarily those two. I'm trying to think if I forgot one more, but primarily those two.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Another thing, speaking of Warrant.
Oh, Cherry Pie, and we do Cherry Pie.
And you do, obviously, yeah, that's the big one. But speaking of Warrant, I got to ask you about this. So in our last episode, too, we talked about Janie Lane, and you said that, like, he was dealing with some demons, and I heard this. What?
I didn't say anything. Okay. Yeah, keep going.
And you could tell me if I'm out of line here, but I heard this on another podcast. And tell me if there's any truth to this. I don't know if it's just a rumor, but so Bobby Brown, who he was married to, she wrote a book, and in her book, she wrote about that he was possibly molested by an older musician. Did you ever hear anything about that?
Because I've never heard. I was not older than Janie Lane. I want you to know that right off the bat.
That is a terrible joke.
So no, that's number one. Honestly, no, I don't know about that. Okay. I really don't. And it may be true. It may be not. I really don't know. If Bobby says so, I don't think she's lying. Right. But I am not in the knowledge on something.
That's just
like
crazy
that.
If that came out. Like, that explains. Because I think a lot of people think that he went down that pathway and he just made some bad decisions, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, doesn't necessarily excuse some of his behaviors, but it definitely explains a lot where things like that's something that obviously would not have been his fault.
You know, there's something else too. Everybody tries to look for the root cause of something. You know, sometimes what makes an airplane, more often than not, what makes an airplane crash is not one thing going wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a series of things going wrong. Sure. So sometimes it's a combination of things or things that you can't just necessarily put your finger on.
Yeah.
And sometimes even just a little event over time, repeated problems, you know, something can happen. I'm not saying this is what happened to Janie and what's not.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's hard to speculate outside.
Sure.
And I'll be honest with you, the times that I spent with him, they were great times.
Yeah.
I can't say I've been through thick and thick with the man because I was not. I was riding on some very high times with Jim. We had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So I can't really say I know him throughout his whole life. I really don't.
Right.
You know, I have a lot of love and respect for him. And I got to tell you, if there was one guy that gave his all every night to freaking doing the show, it was him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah. He's someone I truly respect.
Absolutely. No, me too. And I didn't mean any disrespect by bringing that up.
I didn't play that either.
No, I just wondered if it, because no one talks about that. And like, I was like, is this just a rumor or something? So I didn't know if you.
I honestly don't know. Yeah. I don't. And it's sad to think that that may be part of something, but I really don't know.
Crazy. Well, I have nothing but respect for the guy. But also, another, not to get too much on a downer here, but since our last episode, Frankie Benali, how do I say his name?
Benali, yeah.
You heard about him. He got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Did you ever get a chance to work with him? Or?
You know, I only met him more recently. I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe. We did a festival in, I'm trying to think where it was, a very sunny outdoor place.
Yeah. He's the Wyoming, drummer from Quiet Riot, for those of you who are not aware. But
What a very nice guy.
Yeah.
Very nice fella. And now, the thing that got me, when someone says they're stage 4, that sounds like it's very far progressed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my father died of pancreatic cancer. So I know once he was diagnosed, he was gone relatively fast. So I heard that he's going out to play shows, I'm like, yeah, Frankie, you know?
Yeah.
How awesome is that? So I hope, I don't know what advances have been made in that area, you know, since... You know, I've had my dealings with my father, but it's kind of weird to think that he's back out doing so. I mean, I think that's awesome, but is he getting better? I hope that's the case.
I don't know because, that's when I read about the article. I didn't know this either about pancreatic cancer, but I think I kind of did know that it's usually by the time they find it, it's stage 4. There's no way to test and find it in stage 1, 2, or 3. I don't think.
Oh, so. I didn't know that either. Okay.
I don't think so. Or it's hard to find it.
I think, honestly, most guys probably blow it off until they feel, you know, I better go see the doctor. And by that time, it's too late. I mean, that's my guess. I know there's a lot of successful seed implantation, stuff like that has combated. But again, I don't know. I really don't know. But it's a very good sign to me if he's up to going out and playing.
Yeah.
You go, boy.
Well, if he knows, he's got so much time left that he wants to live that time and do what he loves doing.
God bless. Yeah, more power to him.
That's very cool. So there's another question I wanted to ask you that I don't think I talked to you too much about with Trickster. So you guys have kind of been on and off for basically 30 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys never really broke up. Like you've kind of gone on hiatus.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. That has not been an official statement issued saying we are broken up. So,
right.
No, I guess that's
and
true.
So, I mean, you had no lineup changes. Like I said, it was more like you took a hiatus. So how did you guys deal with disagreements? Cause there had to have been some times where you disagreed about creative differences about a song or maybe an album picture or who to tour with, or, I mean, was there someone that just kind of made those decisions? And
I'll tell you right off the bat, number one, back in the old days, we had very good management. That's number one.
Yeah, you have mentioned that before.
And I got to tell you something, people don't necessarily understand the value of management. People look at it, let's say a pie and how many slices of that pie you're going to give away and how much you're going to keep. There's a hell of a lot more to it than that. Just one direction, one piece of competent direction from a manager can change your revenue earning stream substantially. So, you know, good management is worth its weight in gold. Poor management, that's when you got to start worrying about slicing up your pie and crap like that, you know?
Right.
But with the right guy, with the right direction, with right vision, and able to keep a band playing, getting them to play at a higher rate of frequency, at higher dollar value, but that's the job of a manager. Create the lengthy, term of longevity at the best price also that you could possibly get. And at the end of the day, make a successful brand.
Yeah.
You know? So those are the true, you know, how to go about doing that can vary from philosophy to philosophy, from manager to manager that has a vision for the
brand. So if you guys had any issues, you kind of take it to management, or did you work it out amongst yourselves?
It's a manager to make sure they get involved when it comes to that sort of thing, number one. To avoid conflict within the band, to maintain focus on what the short-term and the long-term goals ought to be.
Right.
You know?
Because that's pretty amazing that, I mean, even in the stretch from when you guys started until when you kind of disbanded, like I said, a hiatus in 95. I mean, there was no lineup changes. There was no, break. You guys stuck together. The only reason you disbanded is because, the grunge thing happened. You kind of was like, all right, well, we got to do something else for a while. But I mean, that's pretty impressive, right? And then now you got back together and it's all four original members. You guys made a couple new albums. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know what? When we put it back together in 2008, I don't think anybody wanted to do it without the original lineup. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
And I you know what, dude? When we did this back in the day, do you know how freaking cool it was to, like, you know, go on the road with your best buddies from high school? How ridiculous is that? I mean,
no, that would be amazing. Yeah. I can't imagine.
PJ just got out of high school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Didn't you say he was 16 when he signed the contract?
When he signed the Rick Carding contract, he was 16 years old. Yeah.
That's crazy.
How nuts is that? When we recorded this, even better. We recorded the first record. He had to have our producer sign off on his gym requirement for school that he did X amount of bass, of hours of bass playing to satisfy his his physical education requirement.
Yeah. That is crazy.
How funny is that?
That is hilarious. So, is there any new movement on the Trickster front? Any new shows
playing? Yes, I had a movement this morning at approximately 10:35 a.m.
I mean, within the band, are you guys going to do any more shows? Or
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are no plans for the original lineup to get back.
So nothing's changed since our.
Unfortunately, not. No, but you know, that's not to say we'll see what happens. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
Because I think we talked about this last episode that the 30th anniversary of the Blood, Sweat, and Beers is coming up. So.
Yeah, it is. 2021 will be the 30th.
Or 2021. Okay, so we got you got some time to plant it then.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I'm planting seeds right now, pal. Yeah, there you go. So play along here, Shooty. Come on.
So speaking of goals and stuff, like, I didn't think I brought this up last time, but you were a motivational speaker, actually. You started doing that in 91 on the Scorpions tour.
Yep, that's where it started. And I got to tell you something. There's something really satisfying about it. I really dig it. I mean, honestly, to me, it may be every day. I get to do the show, get to do this, blah, blah, blah. And that's wonderful. But people, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, scotoma is what they call it. You know, people have a dimness of vision of what's really going on behind the curtain, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then when you live back there, it's like, oh, it's no big deal. But, you know, I guess it's a big deal for what you don't know. So to offer some insight as to what life was like, how we got the attention of record companies, how we get on MTV, how we had success, what it's like to do this, and what steps should I do to follow in that footstep, you know, and how do you take principles that I've learned in, let's say, global marketing with MCA Records, how do you use that in a real life application in a job that you might do at the grocery store or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's the kind of thing that I find very interesting. And I learned through myself, trial and error. When I left the band in 95, I bought a house, got married, got cars. And then I said, now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know? And I had to take that knowledge and do something with it. So I started working with amusement parks, doing marketing and stuff like that. And a lot of the stuff I learned at MCA, I was able to apply in a regional sense to make amusement parks flourish. Uh-huh. And it was really cool. And then that caught the attention of the people at the Dave & Buster's Corporation. And then started doing work with them. And I was very fortunate, did very well.
Yeah.
And
you had a good point. It was something about how I think just attaining that success is like basically believing that it can happen, because a lot of people just say, like, oh, I could never be in a band and be in tour. And then if you think that, then obviously, I mean, sounds kind of cheesy.
The number
one
point, I think people themselves is probably the worst enemy they have. It's not the people who are egging you on, it's the lack of belief in yourself. That's number one above all else. And that's sometimes a very hard thing to face, you know, to think that, you know, the guy in the magazine is like an untouchable, it's not real.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's 100% real, pal. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? We're just some dumb kids from New Jersey, you know, but we had a plan.
Yeah.
And we forged a plan with the people that had some power and were able to help us. We didn't do it ourselves. We had a lot of help along the way. That's, you know, but that, you know, if we didn't believe in ourselves, we would have thrown in the towel before we even got some help.
Right. You said that your secret to your success was pure determination and persistence. So you just kept going.
No, I'll even go so far as to say some of it was stupidity, because the odds are against you. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to have, it's either balls or complete stupidity to keep going forward. Mm-hmm. But if you do it because you love it, then it's not effort.
Right.
It's like, dude, we're going to play another gig. Another one? Holy crap. I'll pack the freaking cooler. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and then eventually when you start making money from it, then it's like, well, then of course you're going to keep
it. I got to tell you what, you can't, this kind of gig, you don't get into it for the money.
Right.
I mean, you know how many times we played shows and we didn't make money by the time you pay for gas? pay for guitar strings, drums. I broke a cymbal. Oh, I mean, you don't get in it from money.
Right.
And they're saying, you need help. You need support to make it happen. You know how much we spent on demo tapes and crap? Like when we signed with our management company, Shark Entertainment, initially, they put a bunch of money into us for equipment and stuff like that to get new recordings. I needed brakes on my car, you know, stuff like that. Huh. You know, so the club gigs didn't pay for that, man. Right. It did not. You know, so we looked, we had a stronger vision in mind of what we wanted to do, what our goal was.
Yeah, it's kind of like building any business. So you kind of take a loss at the beginning most of the time.
For the most part,
it takes time to build it.
And there,
and sometimes
there
are, they never get built.
So. There's different bands out there too. There's guys that like to make their living playing, let's say, covers, and you know, they do the club circuit and make a lot of money. You know, if you, you know, your plan is different. You know, some guys have different ideas, and that's wonderful. And you follow your plan, and if you're happy, then you know that's a win across the board. But you know, at least for our vision, we didn't care about, you know, being a club band. We wanted to conquer the world.
Absolutely. So there were some people that obviously didn't believe in you. And I've noticed that, like, because when we had those articles on Sleaze Rocks, I'm reading the comments, and there's just, like, a lot of trolls on the internet. And so,
trolls,
and I think, you never heard that term?
I have. It's just funny when you
say it. No, but it's like weird, because I'm looking at this article, I'm so excited, I'm like, my name is in this article, you're in it. And it should be, like, a positive thing, but some people come in, and they're like, oh, Trickster sucks, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why do you take the time to, so how do you deal with the troll? I mean, even before the internet, there was, maybe they weren't called trolls back then, but there were people that didn't believe in you, that hated your band. That, I mean, how did you deal with that kind of stuff?
You know, you're bringing several things to my head right at the get-go. As far as going back in the old days, I remember rolling up to the gate at the Meadowlands Arena, and that was our big dream come true night. That's the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey. That was where we saw all of our heroes play on stage. Bon Jovi, Kiss, you know, anybody who, AC/DC, all our guys. You know, we said, one day that's going to be us, man, or it's going to be right here. That was the spot. So to roll up to those gates in the limo and be like, whoa, we've arrived. You know, we're really doing this now.
Absolutely.
And they're letting us through. You know what I mean? And there was a crowd of people by the limo gate, whatever, to get into the arena. And they start to open the gate, and there's a bunch of people saying hello and taking pictures and all that. And there's one guy comes up to me and says, I don't want to use the word, but I effing hate you. You know, and I was like, whoa, how weird is that? You know, so I took a step back. I'm like, you know, dude, talk, come here, come talk. Because every once in a while, I would have a guy that would come up and be real, you know, there was some real negativity from him, you know.
Yeah.
Really, a lot of love, and then you had that quotient. And for some reason, I don't know, particularly me, as many people like me, there's that many people that don't like me also. Go figure. I'm just one of those guys. So I pull him and say, dude, that's all good. It's all good. That's all cool. So tell me why. What is it that you don't like him? You know? And I did an interview with someone the other day who said he used to freaking hate Trickster back in the day. You know? And it's a weird thing. It's part jealousy. And first off, everybody has a little something different about it.
Yeah.
But I think there was some stigmatism because we were so young. And that we made it look like it happened overnight, and we were riding this wave, and everything's wonderful, and everybody else is love. It was a weird thing. Huh. And I think some people had a weird way of processing that, you know? And it turned into, and I think maybe I was the guy that was, you know, at least exemplified as the one leading the party at times to be a little crazy, you know what I mean? So I was riding that wave a little harder than most or something.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if they pinpoint me as the target of anger, you know, or something like that. So it was funny, but I really tried to connect with guy, and he actually did start talking. It's like, you know, and he couldn't even put into words why he had this angst, why he had this anger, you know, but it was legit. You know, so it was kind of weird. It was supposed to be a big night for me too, so I didn't want to be negative, but I really tried to talk to him. I actually talked to him for about 4 minutes or so, you know, just trying to get an idea where his head was at. So to get the feedback and to see where it was coming from, and the fact that he really had trouble putting it into words, you know, it was just this inbred jealousy. It was kind of weird. Huh. And I don't know if jealousy is the right word, but he was not digging it, you know, but he was standing outside the gate at the arena.
See, that's what doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, if you don't like that kind of music, then I understand, but just don't go to that concert or.
I think it's strange. Not the music. You know what I mean? Okay. It's something else.
Okay.
So, how weird is that?
It
it's
is
like,
weird.
Dude, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know, if you're not digging it, you know, why?
No, I think it's funny too. And then in the internet, because people will troll and then somebody else will stick up for you. And I don't, you saw that one comment where somebody was ripping on you and then somebody else said, called that guy a twat waffle. And. You laughed at that one. That was never heard that term before. So.
You know, every once in a while I get that sort of thing. And sometimes I know it's pre-planned. Other times you have the people stick up. But honestly, rarely do I respond. I think on one of them I responded pretty strongly.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. And you know, people can go read it. It's all fun. Yeah. I don't really care. But I think also there are a certain, not all people, there's a certain segment of the demographic that tends to want to be an authority on a certain site. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And if it doesn't fall within their parameters of liking, or if they have that little negativity thing about Trickster or something like that, then they're going to, you know, attempt to let us have it.
Right.
So I'm not always going to stand idly by. I will put up a very strong defense. And you know what's funny? After I said my piece, I didn't hear anything else back from those guys.
Oh, I think I did see that. Yeah. No, I know, because it's so stupid of those people to comment, because you don't know who's reading it. And there's a lot of times where even some of the bigger names have jumped in and started, you know, what did you say? Like, Sebastian Bach, he'll go back and forth with people all the time on Twitter, I see. So it's like, I wouldn't mess with him. So.
Right, right. And at the end of the day, you know what? By them doing, you know, being vocal about that sort of thing, if there's really no basis to it, they truly do make themselves a target. So
yeah, they make it. They make themselves look at really it from that stupid standpoint. So.
Yeah, they are at a disadvantage by...
I don't know.
At least if there's something of substance and you've got something to say, this is America. Yeah, you do it, absolutely. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you just want to be a dick about it,
right?
You know, then that's how you get fucked.
Yeah, so. I think so. Yeah, you're right. They make themselves a target. So on a more positive note, let's get to your new song. I want to hear what it's called, With You. It's a single only, right? There's no full-length album planned at this time, but maybe some new songs coming out later?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe. So, yeah, I'm in a bit of a quandary. This is what's really weird. When I first started this song, I didn't plan on doing this solo thing. I really didn't. I just wanted to write the song. And then...
You thought maybe you could use it even for a Trickster album or something?
I'm going to be honest with you. The only reason why... You know, out of all the solo stuff I did, whether it's classical stuff from the movies the Christmas thing that I did, or the new song with you, it all started because I had nothing to do. It's not like I said, oh, I have to take a break from Trickster, go do my solo stuff. No.
Yeah.
It's like I literally was sitting around with a thumb in my ass, and I said, well, now what am I going to do?
Okay.
And I twiddle the thumb, hey, maybe I'll do this. Hey, maybe I'll do that. Yeah, that's really what happened.
Okay.
So when it came to this song with you, it was just a personal thing for me that I was screwing around with.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, well, now what? And I didn't even know I was going to sing on it. I really didn't have the confidence that I was going to sound that good.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't know until I did the first day of vocals. Then I said, oh my God, this sounds good. I got to, you know, we got to do this. We got to do this. And then when the song was done, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I put out a press release and it really got picked up. So I didn't start by saying, this is my plan for world domination. You know, it wasn't that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, because if I had a better plan going in, I probably would have made greater strides. But here's ultimately the dilemma that I'm facing. And I say dilemma, you know, loosely. The song With You is not a rock song, realistically. It has hints of a power ballad. It has hints of some classic rock stuff, and that's cool. But it's really an adult contemporary song.
Sure.
So the target market is not necessarily a Trickster market, you know? So to make a song like that succeed, you have to break new ground or gather new a constituency of fans. So address markets that we really haven't conquered, you know? So it's new ground.
Absolutely.
That's number one. So if I go to conquer this market, what else do I have besides the one song to throw at them? I got nothing.
Right.
So that's a weird thing. And how much money am I going to put into building a new market with just one song to blast at them? And what happens when I go on the road? I'm going to have one song, and then what? Do Trickster cover songs? It's kind of a conflict of audiences.
Right,
you know?
That's a good point.
Right, so if you're taking Mark Guscott, the solo artist, and really attempting to forge forward with what that is, I have to define what that is first, you know? So again, I haven't really put, I didn't decide to do.
You do have other stuff. You have the Christmas album.
True.
Ave Maria?
So there's stuff, but it's not necessarily congruent marketplace. I mean, maybe the Christmas thing with the new single, perhaps. But by the same token, if I want to do something, I love rock, man. So I want to get out there and kick some butt.
True.
So there's some talk about maybe making With You into a power ballad.
That would be fun.
We'll see what happens.
Well, how long did it take you to write With You? Was there a lot of like rewrites and tinkering with it?
You know, the next thing is I didn't make it a project. It's like, oh, I gotta get this done. I'm gonna go record it. It started as like a little thing. It started like, you know, just my own personal thing, and then turned into this song idea, you know? And it took, I'll be honest, it took a lot of time because honestly, I don't think I was a great songwriter. I really, really did not. This is one of the first real songs I think that I've written that I'm really proud of, that I really like, that has gotten a very good response.
Did you not co-write some of the Trickster songs?
Some, but I, not as a major part of it. You
like
know,
which,
as a
so when you co-write, how does that work when you co-write with a Trickster? Do you bring like a piano thing, like a riff to the band, or you bring a guitar riff, or you bring a drum beat, or all those things, or
every different song could be different.
Okay,
but Steve and Steve, even PJ more so now, and Pete were the primary writers in the band. So they would have. I got to give them credit, man. I got to tell you how they have so many ideas, and that they sound so good. They have so many melody lines that are hooky. You know what I mean? Great riffs. You know, I got a couple. These guys got a couple hundred. So, jeez. You know, I got to tell you, so, you know, when Steve came to me and says, we're going to do a new record, I'm like, uh-oh. And he starts playing me demo tapes. I'm like, holy crap, it really sounds good. You know, that's awesome. You know, I don't have a lot of, I mean, I have a few, but I really, not at the rate of frequency that he does, you know?
Or
but,
do you suggest things when you guys are producing?
Absolutely. It's a democratic thing too. Okay. If one guy thinks it's fantastic and three guys think it sucks, guess what? It's not getting used. If one guy hates it and three guys say it's freaking fantastic, it's going to get used. Oh, you know? Okay. So yeah, so
that's
kind of
how
ideas.
Another goes back to how you guys are getting along, and because you don't have management now, right? Don't you guys kind of manage yourselves?
Yeah, and I don't, that's one topic I think we should address. But you know, we're on hiatus now, so
sure.
But
so, how many hours do you think you spent like writing, recording, and engineering just for this one song? Like, how long does that typically take? Because it seems like it's been in the works for a while, right?
Not that I worked on it full time every day.
Sure. No. Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, just the mixing alone was a challenge. There was like 80 plus tracks on this song, which is a little crazy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, particularly on the dance mix. That's the thing. The dance mix, I'll be blowing out hard. I don't know if I'll do it before the holidays. We'll see.
Because that's not out yet, right?
It's for sale on the CD.
On the CD.
But,
okay.
But it's really, I think you can get it on iTunes.
Okay.
You know, but. It's not what I'm really focusing on. It was the ballad that I was really, you know, pushing. But I did this whole big orchestration thing. That's what got a little crazy. And I did 6 tracks of drums. I did, you know, a lot of violins, horn sections, synths. It's substantial, you know what I mean?
No, it sounds great.
Yeah. But to be honest, to mix something like that is a complete pain in the ass. You know, and then you're also working around engineer schedules and stuff like that. So it's not just me. You know, I have to take other. I didn't do this project alone. That's for sure. You know, I might have written it alone, you know, for the most part, you know, but I had some help with a lot of stuff. I really did.
Did I hear Pete maybe singing a little bit of background vocals in that? Or is it all you?
Background vocals are about 80%, 75-80% me.
Okay.
But it was between Pete and Lou Piccadacci, a good buddy of mine who has got another studio in the Phoenix area. And,
cool.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
So there is, okay, I know because it was subtle. I was like, I think that's Pete singing in the background. Like, it's very subtle, but I was like, okay. So
honestly, with the higher ones, I like to pass that off. I could fake it okay, but I want it to be done right, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was the whole thing with this song. Like I said, I wasn't sure I was going to sing it. I didn't know if I had the goods, you know? And above all else, I wanted the song to be great. It wasn't an ego project, you know? It was something I felt strongly about, and I'd rather it be done right than just me, you know?
Yeah, so you wrote the song purely to tell one person how you felt. Yeah. And so the last we spoke, she wasn't aware the song was about her, and you said, like, well, when it comes out, she'll find out. So now the song's out. So what was the reaction of this girl? Did it work?
I did not talk to her.
What? Does she know, or is she still in the dark?
Like, I don't know.
Huh. So you put the song out, and you're thinking that maybe she knows it's about her, but you haven't told her, like, did you like this new song?
Well,
it's about you.
I will
you.
Say this. If she didn't hear the song as of yet, when she does, she'll know.
Oh, she'll know.
Yeah. So, again, just because I haven't gauged a reaction doesn't mean she's not aware.
Is this a previous girlfriend or a female friend, or can you?
It was an acquaintance.
Acquaintance, okay. So it never got to that next level. You were in the friend zone.
It was more remote than that.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Wow. So, all right. Well,
it was. You know, it's weird. Okay. I'm the kind of guy, I'm kind of open. I like telling everybody everything.
But yeah.
When it comes to other people, I think you have to respect space on other people's parts also.
Sure, sure.
So that's why I'm hesitant to say.
No, you don't have to say her name. I'm just curious if there was any, I mean, it's like you put all this time and effort into a song. I mean, yeah, it was partly for, you know, for your own enjoyment and for fun and to help other, you know, to share that with the world.
It wasn't done for fun. It was done. It's funny. Yeah. Like, at least this song, I couldn't help but to write it. It was, yeah. It was one of those things I felt so strongly about that I wanted to find, I just couldn't help not writing it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah. It like poured out of you. Like it almost, you had the drive to.
I poured out of me, but I had to yank it out of me.
Okay.
You know, because I wanted her to know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope she listens. I hope maybe she'll hear this interview even. Who knows?
Maybe.
So what about the reaction? I know obviously there's some trolls on the Sleaze Rock sites, but. Reaction of other people like friends, family, fans, has it mostly been positive? I mean,
quite honestly, yes, thank God, you know.
Okay.
And let me tell you something, I didn't do it to appease other people, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I did it as a project for myself because, again, A, I had nothing to do. I really wanted to, you know, get the feelings out sort of thing, you know.
Absolutely.
So, and I was glad to do it. It was a great project, you know what I mean? I'm uh-huh. proud of it. I love it.
Yeah, and you're happy with it.
Yeah, but again, it's not geared towards a rock audience, mm-hmm. you know,
no,
which is
I know.
Kinda, you know, so it's different.
Yeah, I like it because I like all sorts of different kinds of music, and I was actually amazed, like, it's very catchy, and oh, so I don't know if...
Good.
Yeah. I mean, if that was part of your goal, or if, like, I know, you know, that's kind of part... That is something that is similar to Trickster in that way. I think a lot of the Trickster songs are very catchy, poppy, and so it is... I mean, yeah, it's not as hard as some of the Trickster songs. It's a ballad, but... I mean, I think it's somewhat relatable for some of the fans.
I think it can be. If it's produced slightly different, I think it can be even built into that.
Right. Like you said, if you made it an arena rock
right.
version.
And I just may do that. So yeah. We'll see.
Especially if you do a whole album.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Could
maybe.
You do you think you would want to sing like the more rockin' songs too? I mean
I'll say this. If in fact an individual becomes a solo artist, more often than not, that individual should be the focal point of the project,
right?
And should command the front of the stage,
mm-hmm.
and should not necessarily be. Now that's kind of funny because I love playing drums. You
yeah,
know?
But you could do both, right? You could play drums and sing like Phil Collins.
I was just exactly the example yeah. I was going to give. You yeah. know what I mean? Can it be done? Absolutely, anything can be done.
I always think that's really impressive. Have you ever tried yeah. to? Well, you must have sang backup vocals when you play the drums.
Yeah,
right?
And honestly, I'm not the best at it. I guess if I practice at it more, I could be better. But you know, yeah, I can do it. The question is, you know, to be the solo guy, you know, I believe conquering the front of the stage is essential.
Absolutely.
To have that direct connection with the audience is very, very important. You know?
So that's something you want to try your hat at then?
We shall see.
That'll be exciting. Well, yeah. I'll definitely come support you if
I appreciate
you do that.
Hey,
especially
you want to go?
I'm sure there'll be a show
on the guest list, baby.
Okay.
It's all
awesome.
You.
Who else on the guest list? So you, because you're friends with Robert Mason from Warrant, Mick Brown from Dokken, obviously Pete from Trickster, and then you introduced me to the guitarist from Rat. Is it Jordan?
Yeah, Jordan Ziff.
Yeah, he seemed really nice. Are you still hanging out with all those guys? You hang out a lot.
I just saw Jordan last weekend. They're all Arizona guys too.
Yeah.
So that's what's
weird.
Funny. You know, there's a lot of rockers out here.
Yeah.
And
so
we have
why
a lot
does
of fun.
So those guys. So, because their bands aren't based in Arizona, though, are they? Like, I don't think the rest of Warrant doesn't live in Arizona.
Correct.
Or the rest of Rat
doesn't
live here.
Steve Sweet, the drummer from Arizona, he was living... A drummer from Arizona. Did anybody just say? The drummer from Warrant, he was living in Arizona for a while with with his wife. And I think they're having a new home built in California. So I believe that's correct.
Okay.
There's a lot of guys out here.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, you know?
Brett Michaels, does he still have
he's
that
Scottsdale,
he's
yeah.
He's got a... concert this Saturday. Are you going to that?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Of course you are. That's that'll be fun.
I'll probably see Mike Bailey tonight.
Who's that?
The drummer from
Brett Michaels from band. From the Brett Michaels mm-hmm. band. Oh yeah, because he's got his own solo. Who else is in his solo band?
That the players, Rob, like... the keyboard player. We got Pete Evick on guitar.
Okay.
Eric Brittingham from Cinderella.
Oh yeah,
bass.
That's the one that mm-hmm. That was kind of a bigger name. And then I heard just recently that Poison's they're going to get back together and do a tour in 2020.
I heard that too. Yeah. That's going to be wild.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Trickster could open up for them again.
Hey, hey now.
I love this quote.
Somebody got a copy of this to Brett. Am I right?
Yeah, right.
I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Are you going to see him?
I'm going to put a 20 in his pocket, see what he says. 20-20, pal. What do you say?
There you go.
What do you got there?
I love this quote that you had. You said, I don't think achieving something for yourself necessarily helps the greater good. Do you remember saying that?
Yes.
That's really cool. So, and I think we talked before about your charity, Hope for Kids International. That's the charity that you're involved in. Your new single with you is available everywhere, right? iTunes, Spotify, YouTube.
All nine yards. Yeah. Deezer. And, Napster.
Before we go, obviously, we're going to have you play.
LaMusica.com.
We're going to have you play the song, right?
Play, babies.
Yeah. Hopefully it works with this.
Achieving something for yourself does not necessarily satisfy the greater good. See, that's the thing. That's another thing. You know, this whole solo artist, the adult contemporary solo artist thing. Mm-hmm. I love being a part of a band. I love smashing the crap out of those drums. There's nothing that makes me feel, okay, there's very little that makes me feel better than that. You know?
It's probably a couple things.
But I'll tell you, it was always cool to be a part of a band and move forward as a unit, as a host saying, me! You know what I mean? I say it funny and in joke because I think half of it's a joke. You know, like that, you know. But you, by the same token, if you want to be Madonna, you want to freaking be Michael Bolton, ain't nobody getting out of that limo in front of you.
Right.
So get the fuck out of the way.
Right.
It's not. So there's a fine line between having a strong ego, having a strong brand, and being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's understanding where that line is.
I think we talked about
this
on the other episode, and you said we were talking about Gene Simmons and how he sometimes blurs that.
Yeah, that is correct.
A little,
yes,
but
yes.
No, and I think that's cool. And if you do the solo thing, you'd still have a band, but you'd be in charge of it, which would be kind of cool to have make all those creative decisions and stuff. It'd be your band. Like that'd be kind of neat.
You know what? You know, that's the thing. I think once I focus what I'm really gonna do, and I have direction, then I'll be able to drive it hard, you know?
Absolutely.
Until I really make that decision, what I'm going to do, because honestly, I never had a great desire to be that brand, to be that strong ego. I love being the drummer and Trickster, you know what I mean? And I love those guys. I love playing that music. And I love beating the ever-loving crap out of those drums.
Have you thought of ever just like being in a different band? Like Rad or something,
like the Marco Scott solo project.
So that's an option too. But or would you ever be in just like if Rat's like, hey, we need a drummer. I mean, you're friends with Jordan, or if something happened to Steven or he quit Warren or something, would they get you?
I'd love to play with any of those guys. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the genre. I love the music.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Sure. You know. Good people, good music. I'm in. Hell
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, absolutely. Definitely before we go, we're going to have you play. But otherwise, check us both out on, we're all on the social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, all that good stuff, right? So, all right. So, you ready to play?
God bless you. Okay. Let's do it, brother.
Let's take a break.
Yesterday. just want to be with you. I 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 want to be with you. Come with me. I want to be with you. With you. Is there something I've been saying to bring back yesterday? Oh no, don't let me go. Baby, let me hear you say, I just wanna be with you. Been so long, things are still the same. A broken heart, my love won't take. Wishing I were looking into your eyes, making love with you. I fantasize in the middle of the night, I still call out your name.
Awesome. Thank you.